Good morning, one and all, and welcome back to another day, another week here at the Damage Report. I am John Iderola, and joining me on the show today, Aaron Ryan. Good to have you back. I'm kidding. We had a little mistake with the tweet. It's Francesca, the one and only, I believe.
And the Ewoks shall sound their horns.
And then play the bongos on the Stormtrooper helmets. The queen has arrived. How's it going?
I like if we start with that, then we're done. We're like, it's like we're and scene.
So the show I have to say that I'm continually shocked at the fact that you like it at all, but that you would not just reference them playing it, but that you would know the lyrics to the song they sing.
Yup, yup. But anyway, are you kidding me? You can't forget. It gets in your head.
It was an Endorian banger.
Yeah.
But anyway, arguably better than the January 6th song. Oh, look at the beginnings of a tease for a story. Anyway, it's great to have you here. Thank you for giving us your time. I know that you understandably have reason to be busy lately. So thank you.
Indeed, you're right. Very booked and busy, yes, but always making time for you and the Dragon Squad.
Much appreciated. And thank you everyone for making time for us, for being here. Much appreciated, because we have a lot to talk about. Not only are we gonna be jumping into Trump's Waco rally that he had, which was both in Waco and highly wacko. So we got that to talk about. We've got major protests going on in Israel and maybe succeeding briefly, illusorily. We'll see. We're gonna talk about it. Should kids be banned from social media? Should you have to have literally any training before toting a gun around? These are important questions that we need to grapple with, but there is no question more important, more in need of our attention than, is John Fetterman a clone?
God.
Is he a made up human being? We're gonna get into that. And then lots more news besides that. We've got some more AI already coming for people's jobs, but not necessarily the jobs that you might have thought. So stick around for the aftermath for that. And in anticipation of all that, please hit the like button, share the stream. If you want to send us any comments, tweets, or super chats, we'll respond as we go. And remember, as always, you have a chance at a $100 Blue Apron gift card if you send us a particularly good comment. So all that and more to come. But with all that said, Francesca, are you ready for this thing?
I was going to say, have I ever not been ready? And it just came out.
There's a first time for everything. I would be better off with an Ewok on the other side of that barrier right there.
Okay, yes, I'm so ready now. God.
Baby brain has become baby tongue.
Indeed.
Anyway. Okay, I don't remember what we were talking about. Oh yeah, oh. So sometimes, you know, we finish up our show on a Friday and then we're not there to provide critical commentary to some true menaces, which means we've got a Monday menace. I mean, come on, who did you think it was gonna be? Take a look at this.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise and place your hand over your heart for the number one song on iTunes, Amazon, and the Billboard charts. Justice for All, featuring President Donald J. Trump and the J6 Choir.
What is going on in America? That really happened. That was how he began his rally, was this song that they swear is winning on all the charts. And apparently, some of it is true. That insane song is doing well. I forget exactly. I think it might be on iTunes or something, but it is not leading the Billboard Hot 100, you weirdo. That's not true. And the whole thing is even cultier than normal. And I'm not even talking about the tragic legacy of the city and the anniversary that they're having their rally on the eve of. But that's how we started. And honestly, it only got weirder from there, Francesca. Talking constantly about January 6th. Almost like venerating the protesters that got arrested. And then moving into talking obviously about his legal predicament. He eventually declared himself probably the most innocent man in the history of our country, which is certainly a take. Everyone knows Tom Hanks is the most innocent man in the history of our country. But notably, as weird as some of it was, and we're gonna play some video for you in a bit, he did not double down on his threats of violence against Alvin Bragg, the DA investigating him in the hush money payments. He did not call for death and destruction in the way that he did. So maybe a little bit of the pushback, the dear God, what are you doing? You're making Ron DeSantis seem reasonable stuff might have gotten through to him. But what do you think?
I mean, I'm really digging the witch hunt signs in the back there. Mm-hmm. I will say that, yeah. So, I mean, cool. That's cute. That's a little bonus. The song, which maybe we can't play for copyright purposes, really sucks. Like, it is bad. It is. In fact, it just sounds like, isn't it just the national anthem? It's just the national anthem with a choir.
I think Trump's voice is in it.
And him going, fake news, witch hunt, big hands, like horse face, never happened. You know what I mean? Like, you need to like step it up, you know? You need to get, it has to be like trappy. It's got to be different. But anyway, also he's going more brassy than he usually is with the blonde right now. I feel like it's like usually like, oh, whiter. Now it's like, it's getting, he needs some like that, like, I don't know, some color fading some, anyway, whatever. I'm fading. I don't know, man. Let's keep on watching. You tell me how it was, John. What do you think?
We will. Well, you know, I mean, as you said, if we could bring up this still, it is one thing to talk about a witch hunt during a rally, literally reminding people constantly of all the different legal challenges that you're facing. That's an interesting strategy. But they printed out all of those things in multiple colors, mind you. Like, they wanted everyone take this and never think about anything other than the fact that he's accused of many crimes.
Right.
That is such a weird strategy for a candidate. Like, I'm trying to come up with an example that's not awful to even discuss. I was thinking about what the guy who cheated on his wife while she had cancer. That's like, but imagine bringing that up constantly during your rally. I don't get it. And this guy is, despite all of this weird stuff, obviously he has a healthy lead, at least in national Republican polling over Ron DeSantis. But it's the direction he went into. By the way, when it goes to the song, I'll say what I said before. John Edwards, thank you. Why was I blanking on Edwards? John Edwards, yeah, it's him.
Yeah,
Gingrich did a very similar thing, actually. It's both. There are multiple people who've had affairs while their wife had cancer. There's more than enough awfulness to go around, but thank you for that. When it comes to the song, anyone can make, like if there's a group of prisoners that want to raise awareness or money or whatever, they can make a song. That's not a problem. We can critique it as a piece of art, obviously. It's Donald Trump and the movement picking it up so much, taking the most disgusting moment perhaps from his presidency and the waning moments of his presidency and elevating it to a thing that everyone should worship. That's what bothers me. That said, I've indicated that it was a weird event. I think you can all imagine in some of the ways that it was weird. We decided to give you a little mashup of them. Take a look at this.
We will support baby bonuses, so many people like that, for the new baby boom that will be coming. We need babies.
Not an affair. I never liked horse face. I never liked it. It's just not. It's terrible for me. That wouldn't be the one. There is no one. We have a great first lady.
We will hold a competition to build new freedom cities throughout our country, giving countless Americans a new shot at home ownership and a real shot at the American dream. We will build new monuments to our great American heroes. We won't tear them down. We'll build them up. Clean out homeless camps from our inner cities. Get rid of ugly buildings that are hurting those cities and other places.
Ugly.
Yeah, I don't even know. There's like, he'll randomly throw in amongst all that insanity about baby bonuses, like we're gonna clear out homeless encampments. And where are these people? Because I will remind Republicans, they're people. Where will they go? You'll notice he doesn't say, and nobody in the crowd seemed to care. I found that to be a little bit ominous, but I don't know. You got babies, you got him talking at length about the standard he sets for the type of women that he would have an affair with before he then remembers that he has a wife and references her in
That's
the most awkward transition.
Great line. That wouldn't be the one. We've got a great first lady. And by we, I mean you. Would you like her? Because I don't want her anymore.
Oh, I don't like
her. Just that wouldn't be the one. It just glosses over people. They're just kind of like, They're completely, they're tuning it out. It's okay because it's Trump. It's okay because it's Trump. I do think, however, it is interesting that he mentions homeless encampment sweeps, because this is a thing that is happening across this country by Republicans and Democratic leaders alike, right? Mm-hmm. It is not just, in fact, that Trump is almost, I think, trailing on, like he's heard that said and he's like, hey, yeah, let's do that. We like that. So yeah, that is kind of curious, and also goes to show how much this crime wave narrative, which is BS in New York, it's BS in LA, like crime has been going down, like how much that has actually gained traction after the pandemic. And gee, I wonder, when you kick people off of SNAP benefits, yeah, maybe someone's gonna have to steal some food once in a while in order to eat. So, but anyway, let's forget all that.
Yeah. It makes one wonder, man, have they literally ever thought about the natural consequence of the policies that they push for, how that's going to create situations that they pretend to have a big problem with? And I'm not saying regular conservatives don't have a problem with this stuff. I think that they do. Elite Republicans pretend to, but they know that passing policies that have obvious consequences that are really negative and drive a lot of social like discord and chaos, mm-hmm, and conflict then benefits them. Like creating a situation where everybody just gets along and everybody's happy and fulfilled is not conducive to Republicans getting elected. So why would you delude yourself into thinking that that's what they're gonna do?
No, and it's not conducive to our militarized state and our militarized country and our militarized police force across this country, right? Who are continually sucking annual city budgets across, you know, everywhere. So like it's in their interest, it's in capital's interest, it's in rich people's interest to continue to kick poor folks and working folks off of their any kind of assistance, making sure they're more desperate and destitute, busting their unions in order for them to just invest more in like in cops. It's perfect. It's the perfect set 'em up, knock 'em down situation. Yay, late stage capitalism.
Yeah, geez. Oh. 100%. Okay. I think I'm gonna call a little bit of an audible, considering some of the breaking news is happening, which we're gonna turn to in just a minute. I'm gonna jump ahead. Can we jump ahead to our last two sots, actually? And whenever you're ready, feel free to jump into the second to last. Sorry for
when that. A man comes to me, tears in his eyes, he's at almost nothing in the polls, and he's fighting somebody that's at 42 and he's got almost $30 million in the bank. He's at almost nothing, he's got no cash. And I say, I can't give you an endorsement. There's no way you can win. You're dead. I didn't know him very well, but I saw him. So he came and he really wanted. I said, you can't win, can you? How do you can win? Sir, if you endorse me, I'll win. Please, please, sir, endorse me. And I said, all right, let's give it a shot.
Okay, so we cut out a little bit there. We're gonna have a little bit more of it, but that was the part of Trump's rally where he just turned it into a roast of Ron DeSantis. And what's interesting isn't him creating this scene where a man comes to him in tears. Every one of his stories involves a man coming to him in tears for some reason. It's that, wasn't that kind of a tepid response? There were laughs. Like some people were getting. I was gonna say getting off it, and then I realized no, that's actually kind of more accurate than I initially intended. Him viciously mocking a person and trying to humiliate them is a thing that a lot of Republicans will like. But it wasn't like they were applauding. It wasn't like the crowd loved it. These are people who have gone to a Trump rally. They are like the MAGA of the MAGA. And they didn't love it as much as I thought they would when he's mocking Ron DeSantis, like desperately begging him for help, Francesca.
Well, he's got to go harder too. I mean, this is the thing. Let us fix your stupid fascist movement for you. Number one, if you want it to continue, you should probably make friends with Ron DeSantis, pick a successor and continue your, you know, again, the downward spiral into whatever the hell, you know, you want this country to become. You know, again, Handmaid's Tale meets Elysium meets, you know, whatever techno nightmare, you know, Peter Thiel wants us to live in. But instead, you know, yeah, you know, okay, so he's gonna come out the gate. He's gonna come strong. He's gonna come for DeSantis. That he begged you for it? No, go back to the meatball, go back to Ron DeSantis, go back to talk about Florida. I don't know, but he can't throw Florida on the bus because he lives there. So it's just like, it's fun to see
them. And he has been throwing Florida under the bus quite a bit. I mean, he was talking about how crime ridden it is and everything, saying he keeps coming back to the only reason it's ever had any success is sun and beaches. case could be made. I don't know. But he has been slamming Florida, at least Florida under DeSantis, quite a bit.
That's good. No, and this is good. And he should keep on doing that. Blame the hurricanes on DeSantis. Blame it all on DeSantis. But yeah, I mean, we know these rallies. People just go to them. It's like going to see, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to, not the Stones, because kind of they still got it, even though I've never seen them. But it's going to see like an aging star. Like, I saw Guns N' Roses a few years ago, and you're like, all right. First of all, Axl's not there. So like, this is already bad, you know? And Axl Slash isn't there. What am I talking about? Slash isn't there. Axl's there, but he's like, you know, phoning it in. He's still got it, whatever. What I'm saying is you just go to see it. But you kind of let it wash over you. He's not really saying anything new, and you're not that excited about it, but you got to go see it.
I mean, I wouldn't, but I understand that some people do find that appealing. By the way, you could declare that any old-timey drummer or singer wasn't there, and I wouldn't even know that they'd been there in the first place. But sure. Let's see, maybe he'll get you with the second I'm going to say verse. Let's jump into this.
But when you're getting a guy, so he gets the nomination because of you, he wins the election because of you. 2 years later, the fake news is up there saying, will you run against the president? Will you run? And he says, I have no comment. I say, that's not supposed to happen. I have no comment. No, so I'm not a big fan, but I love, that's right. He's a disciple of Paul Ryan. He is actually a disciple. That's why he wanted to cut Social Security and Medicare.
Good. He at least got to the substance eventually.
Exactly.
But the stream of consciousness is amazing. He's like, no, I'm not a fan, but I love, I don't know what I was going to say. Anyway, Paul Ryan something, he was cutting a thing. I don't know. He shouldn't have done it. It was bad. Yeah, again, not a strong reaction from the crowd on that. We'll see. By the way, to complicate things even a little bit more, I have seen the beginning of some state level polling for Ron DeSantis versus Trump coming out. And there's actually two states where he's currently leading. I think it might have been New Hampshire and maybe Iowa at the same in the same poll. I'm not sure. So I don't know. Maybe this thing will be more competitive than I thought. It's hard to track. Any final thoughts before we move on to the breaking news?
No, let's move on.
Let's do it, everyone. And apologies to the team. I know that you don't have anything prepped for this or whatever, but I just felt like we did have to mention it. Literally, as we're live, as we're talking on the show, tragic details already flooding in yet another school shooting that apparently is still undergoing. The shooter has been neutralized, apparently, according to police. But people at the scene are being treated. This is the Nashville Covenant School in Nashville. Three children apparently were killed in the shooting. And apparently, according to these early reports, and by the way, even when it's something definitive, like the police engaged the shooter and the shooter has died, those things have sometimes been proven to not be accurate. Sometimes information is given quickly from people who did not necessarily know. So don't take anything that you're hearing this early after a tragedy like this as definitive. There are almost certainly other injuries. Apparently, some sort of student reunification center has been set up at a nearby church where they can try to like take account of people, see who's injured and all of that, get people the assistance they need. But yet another school shooting. We can't seem to get through a week. We can't get through half a week without something tragic like this happening. And you can add now another city, another school, another community to the list that's been affected by this, Francesca.
Yeah, and it's a religious school. It's a Presbyterian school, you know, and I do not know anything about this school. I don't know their background. I don't know, you know, what the administrators advocate for and whatnot. But for sure, there is a wave across this country, supposedly from the religious right, that says the biggest threat to children are gay people and drag shows. And here you see that that's absolutely, once again, not the case. It is guns and gun violence. And it's not mental health, man. Many people have mental health issues and are not mass shooters. Can we please stop that narrative? Because we know it's just running cover for the real issue, which is our access to guns. That is it, period, end of story. These children, and the fact that they're being referred to as children makes me feel like Covenant School was a small, and also what is it, an elementary school? Doesn't sound like they're high schoolers. But again, And the fact that like the shooter, a suspect is dead, the suspect might actually be a peer. So great, I guess that now.
Yeah, we don't know that at this point.
We don't know it. We don't know.
Yeah.
But again,
we do know the school is for preschool through sixth grade. The students are roughly 11 or 12 years old at max. Yeah.
I mean, like, talk about, if you want to talk about mental health crisis, the only thing you can say is, yeah, the mental health crisis from having your school shot up. And how many people have been through that? Well, far, far, far too many. You know, we trace it back to the assault weapons ban being lifted under George W. Bush, man. And there's a reason that our generation did not experience this to the degree that we're seeing now. And a couple of those reasons are that ban being overturned and, oh yeah, all the money and the weaponry and the militarized BS that we sent over abroad to the Middle East, that George W. Bush and Republicans sent and Democrats sent across to the Middle East, all that came home. All that came home here. So now we have like literal war zones in where? In schools.
Yeah. Yeah, and also frequently in churches and in bars and everywhere, all over the place, everywhere, constantly. We don't have a lot of details about who the shooter was, what kind of weapon they had, whether they had multiple weapons. We don't know. We'll get, as is always the case, in an hour, in a day, we'll get more specific information that won't have any effect whatsoever, because it doesn't matter if this is yet another person who had an AR-15. It's not going to change a single right winger's mind. They do not care. They don't care literally at all. They still venerate the AR-15. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was a pistol. I don't know. All I know is there are many countries where this does not happen, where you do not have weekly mass shootings. Countries that are very similar to America in a lot of different ways, but dissimilar in a couple of specific ways that you already know when it comes to advocacy for and personal ownership of guns on a scale that no other country can match. I'm seeing some initial information supposedly of what the shooter might have been like or what the guns. I can't consider that confirmed at this point. So we're just going to say, everyone, if you're interested in the story, and I think that you should be, because this is such an emblematic tragedy on a weekly basis here, you can follow online and we'll have more to say certainly throughout this week. Okay, with that said, we are going to take our first break. We're going to respond to some of your comments, questions, and concerns, and be back with more news after this. Okay, apologies to everyone for the rest of the show. I have like 15% of my mind and my eyes on trying to get details on the ongoing situation with that shooting in Nashville. So apologies for that, but we're going to try to continue to get through all the news as prepared. Let's jump into this. The situation in Israel has been developing fast over last night and throughout this morning, as of LA time at the very least, with Benjamin Netanyahu being set to give a speech where he was going to say that he was not going to be making this major judicial reform overhaul. And then that was canceled. There was a lot of speculation as to why. And then there was talk about like, oh, maybe he's moving in the direction of stopping it. Maybe he's not. There's pressure coming at him from multiple directions. And of course, you have these major protests developing, which we're going to talk about. As of right now, it appears that the signals they are putting out as a result of this backroom deal is that they will be, temporarily at least, stopping this incredibly controversial plan to reform the Supreme Court, as well as the interplay between the legislature and the Supreme Court in Israel. So some of what we have prepped here is no longer accurate. That is what we believe is the case. Now, I have a feeling that many of the protesters are going to see this as a stalling tactic to see if the protests fall apart. That would be my fear. We're going to give you more details about it. First of all, I do want to let you know initially how this came about. So it was set off by the government's attempt to give itself greater control over the selection of Supreme Court justices and to limit the court's authority over parliament. Critics fear the changes will remove important checks and balances on the government and erode democracy. A lot of the protests are echoing those messages. Supporters say the overhaul would curb the influence of an overreaching and unelected judicial bureaucracy. And on top of the concern about what could happen with the Supreme Court, over the weekend, a defense minister was fired by Benjamin Netanyahu as well. Again, related to this. So Francesca, I'm really curious what you have to say about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's incredible when any population like rises up and can demand, take to the streets, and everyday people can join together and say that we don't believe in this power grab. We believe in a separation of the judiciary and of the executive branches and parliament. And these are important checks to have. And I think when Israel, interestingly and ironically, touts itself as the only democracy in the Middle East. That is what I think a lot of the Israelis are defending right now, is the protection of that democracy. You cannot, however, say what I just said and not think of and remember the state of occupation that Palestinians living in the West Bank, in Gaza, and within Israel itself, within the borders of the 1948 borders, what they live through and what they go through every single day, which is not democratic, which is not equal protection under the law, which is not equal rights, right? It is a steadily losing territory position where they have their human rights, their civil rights, their land grabbed from them every single day. And they are subjected to all kinds of incredible humiliation from not being able to use the same, obviously, hospitals, roads, getting a job, right? So there are so many contradictions in this. And yet, I am absolutely supportive of the Israeli people standing up to a power grab from an incredibly far right government. I just wish and hope and have faith that one day they can turn that critique also on the ways that the continuation of the occupation undermines the very democracy that they're trying to defend now.
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully. And look, it's obviously beyond my anything even approaching expertise, but I would assume that to the extent that that sentiment is there, it's probably more seen in the people who are protesting literally right now. I have a feeling that if it's going to come from anywhere, it's probably going to come from there. And by the way, this is outdated information at this point, but at one point, at least more than 100,000 Israelis were protesting. There's been some time. We'll have to see what this the beginnings of an announcement, I guess, from Benjamin Netanyahu. Maybe he will give a speech. What effect it'll have on it? Could it possibly diffuse the protests? I doubt it, I think. Perhaps if it's seen as obviously a stalling tactic, perhaps that will be a thing that will actually lead to more people getting the streets. But it has been very significant. You had everything from malls, the airport, kindergartens, the embassies as well now being shut down as a result of this. Not only from the protests and from embassy staff sort of willingly being a part of this, you had the stock exchange. It's going to be closed until at least Tuesday. Israeli time is a big time difference, obviously. You have the head of Israel's workers' union announcing a general strike across the country until the legislation is suspended. So we'll have to see how they respond to these developments. There hasn't been a strike like that in Israel for literally decades. One of the leaders of one of the trade union umbrella groups said, "Where are we leading our beloved Israel? To the abyss. Today we are stopping everyone's descent towards the abyss by participating in this work stoppage." There was one protester, I love this quote, who said, "This is the last chance to stop this move into a dictatorship. I'm here for the fight to the end." And apparently, while that's the initial protest that's been going on for just a little bit in response to what's going on, there are apparently right-wing WhatsApp groups and social media with activists coming together to counter protest, including calls to take up arms like tractors, guns, knives, and attack the anti-government protesters. I haven't yet seen reports of that actually happening. There'd been talk about these counter protests sort of beginning to spool up. We're going to have to see if that happens throughout the course of today. Francesca?
Yeah, just final thoughts. I think that this is definitely a very far right government. And the protesters that are thinking of aggressing upon the people taking the streets right now are often on the even farther right of the government that's currently in power. They want more settlements. They want more ability to, you know, basically come down on Palestinian people, wherever they might be. They're more extremists, right? We saw them chanting and jeering and shouting when like the Al-Aqsa Mosque was bombed about a year ago, right? When there was flames emerging from that place, right? And they were shouting and cheering on the Israeli military and their incredible crimes at that moment. So I think it's important to remember, like, and this is also just a warning for all of us, you know, in the United States, when I think a lot of Republicans here venerate Israel for a lot of different reasons, primarily because of, I think, a lot of that, the segregation, the ethnic cleansing, the let's keep the brown people over here, over there, et cetera. Obviously, the Christian nationalist psycho, you know, Jesus is coming back and then most of the Jews are going to die and then other ones are going to convert, but shh, don't tell anybody. But then there is also that power grab, right? There is also that we like how far right this government is, and look at them making moves to even, you know, actually consolidate their power even more so. It's hard to imagine that our country is better when it comes to separations of power in this, you know, between the judicial and the executive branch. But imagine here if we had even more of an attempt to say, hey, let's reduce the number of Supreme Court justices to 4, right? And let's skip confirmation, right? It's just gonna be the appointment of the president, hook, line, and sinker. And it effectively
is, quite a few of them recently. Now, if it's an election year, they're gonna start skipping them. So we have our own problems too.
Yes.
It's a good point. Okay, we're gonna see. We're gonna be tracking. By the way, I just want to give you a quick update. As many people are pointing out in the chat, including Galfar, thank you for giving information about this. I wanted to wait until the source that I'm on actually updated it. But according to Don Aaron of the Metro Nashville Police Department, the shooter, quote, appears to be in her teens. They are saying it is a female. Her identification has not been confirmed, so it sounds like it could potentially be a student, but that has not been confirmed. Mm. Apparently had 2 assault type rifles and a handgun. So that does not necessarily mean that it was an AR-15 or an AR-15 style rifle. I don't know how they're defining assault type. They might be defining it based on appearance, but it sounds like went in with multiple guns. If it does turn out that this is a female mass shooter in a school, that, at least to my memory, does make this unique, even amongst the many, 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 many school shootings that America has experienced. So we will continue to track this. Again, don't consider anything, even if it is stated as a fact, to be confirmed at this particular moment.
Yes.
Okay. With that said, we're gonna move to very different news. We're gonna talk about a different thing that people are talking about. It's a threat to young people. With that, let's jump into this. The pushback against social media is proceeding fast. And I don't just mean calls to ban TikTok, although we'll be talking about that. Governor Cox of Utah signed a sweeping social media bill at the end of last week that has been passed by the legislature earlier, but now he's given it a stamp of approval. It's the first state law in the nation that will prohibit social media services from allowing users under 18 to have accounts without the explicit consent of their parent or a guardian. And he was sort of like celebrating this on social media, saying, "We're no longer willing to let social media companies continue to harm the mental health of our youth. Today we signed 2 key bills in our fight against social media companies into law." So that is how this is being presented, as everyone knows that there's been discussion about what negative effects on people's mental health, both kids and adults, being on social media will have. Well, now they're saying we're just jumping immediately to will be blanket banned unless they're given an exception by their parents. And that's not all it would do, by the way. It will also require social networks to give Utah parents access to their children's posts, messages, and responses. So full access to all formerly private messages they had sent out. It will require social media services to block Utah minors from accessing their accounts from 10:30 at night to 6:30 in the morning. That can again be changed by a parent. And also, it will prohibit social media companies from employing features or design techniques that could cause a minor to form a, quote, addiction to their online platforms, which is the sort of thing that's baked into literally every platform, every website, everything online. So there's a lot here, Francesca.
Yeah, there is. There's so much to dig into in this story. I think my first thought is, this is what happens when we cannot get any kind of tech company to at all take seriously the harm that it does to our brains and their model of making money off of our data. So that's number one. You know, I can imagine, like, if Facebook really felt like they wanted to take seriously, like, let's say predators, right, who might target young people, there could be a feature that says, you know, that pops up when it's like, hey, you've received a message from someone you don't know, you're chatting with someone, like basically, are you safe? Do you know this person? Make sure not to like meet up with anybody, you know, like all that stuff. There's like ways and controls that app could shut off after a certain amount of time if we want to prevent addiction. All of those things, which are never going to come from Facebook, they have to come from regulators, from Congress. Regulators, mount the F up. But so this is what Utah is doing. The problem is, of course, as we see, is that allowing parents all access to their kids' data is often not a good thing, right? Anyone can have children. Trust me, I have a child, dude. They let anyone have a kid, right? And the idea that your parent is going to somehow be a better source for you, be more understanding. Let's say if you're going through something, right? If you need to talk to somebody, if you're having a problem with your parent and your only outlet and your only out is to speak to somebody that you like, a friend online or whatever it is, you know, that's, yeah. So it's a complete invasion of that child's privacy. And again, there's just like so much emphasis on the idea that every parent is going to be good. No, yeah. That's not the case. I don't know. I'm curious about your thoughts.
Yeah, look, I definitely think that there's a lot of stuff that is highly addictive, designed to be highly addictive. I am actively addicted to multiple of these things, and I have been addicted to forms of them throughout my life. So I understand that when it comes to, God, the sheer number of hours I played of EverQuest back in the day. I understand this. And I do think that there's a role for both government as well as parents. This goes pretty far in giving the access to the private messages and everything. I mean, you've pointed out some great concerns. Others have echoed them, saying it might be all well and good for like a random hypothetical child to not have this form of privacy in a hypothetical supportive family that very much does not exist for everyone.
Yes.
You have Sarah Coyne, the child development professor, says, we know that marginalized youth, such as LGBTQ kids, use social media in some really important ways to find belonging and support, especially when they don't have family support. So if you've got a 17-year-old who's really struggling with mental health, turning to social media to find a place to belong, and their parents are cutting it off or looking at their messages, that can have a really significant negative impact. It could literally lead to abuse, the child abuse from the parents to the kids when they realize what they've been up to. And that's a great example, but I'm sure we can come up with others. So I am worried about that as well. I think that something has to be done. I think that we can have an ongoing conversation, but this does seem like a whole lot of things all at once.
Yeah, and also like, I'm down if you then in turn give the child control over your parents' cable news, because somebody's gotta switch off Fox.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, I know that we naturally just think, well, you know, adults can do literally anything they want except smoke weed for some reason. But yeah, what, Fox isn't designed to be addictive?
Isn't harming you and your families and your communities?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, if I can sit down and watch like 6 episodes of Succession in a row, that is clearly incentivizing addictive behavior.
No.
Why can I click to the next one? So no. Again, you know, glass addictions, I guess. Something rocks. I don't know. Anyway, I don't think we're gonna be able to play the AOC video, unfortunately. Oh well. We've got a lot more to get to, including, hey, what do you know? We're gonna be talking about guns, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. But let me just say, wrong baby time, right baby. Right, Francesca?
Wrong baby, right time.
Best baby.
Wrong time, right baby.
There you go.
What song is that? John doesn't know, but someone in the chat.
No, that's gonna be the title of my autobiography. I don't even know what that means. Okay, with that, we're gonna jump into new human rebate. Frank Morningtree wants to call it. Yeah, let's do a baby bonus. Let's do a child tax credit. It was super popular and had an immediate massive impact on cutting child poverty, child hunger, and all that. Let's do that again. Let's have some Democrats pushing for that, by the way, and talking about how Trump is supporting it.
I mean, obviously he's referring to the fact that he effectively helped make abortion illegal. Like, it's all bad still. It's all still awful.
Oh no, everything's bad. Everything's bad.
Everything's bad.
Okay, let's talk about other stuff that's bad against the backdrop of the horrendous Nashville news that's coming in on a daily basis. Let's jump into this. You remember responsible gun ownership? That was a quaint idea. We're way past that as a country now, or at very least on a state level. Florida has made a few fun little changes to their gun rules. So permitless carry, by the way, one step closer to becoming law in the state of Florida. This would be concealed carry, of course, but it's not just any concealed carry. It's concealed carry of firearms without training. So it allows those who are otherwise qualified to avoid the permit process to conceal carry their weapons. That passed 76-32, so hardly even a controversial thing in Florida, with legislators claiming it's just the beginning. Representative Chuck Brannon said the bill was about removing red tape and that Florida will not come between you and your freedom to protect yourself anymore, assuming you're white. If you're not, they'll find a way to get you. Don't worry. More than a dozen amendments to require training were put forward, mainly by Democrats, weirdly enough, to no avail. Brandon himself didn't like the idea of forcing training. He said that, yeah, training is important. And he pointed to the $1.5 million the bill allotted for, which on the scale of legislation of a state like Florida is FU money. Like, it's $1.5 million, who cares? But anyway, he said he didn't think it was, quote, the nanny government's job to mandate training. And so the only thing that this doesn't do from my point of view, I understand, by the way, gun nuts don't think this goes nearly far enough, is that it does not allow open carry without any training or whatever. And honestly, like I have never just whipped out my gun and started firing away or anything. But like, is it better to have them have to fish it out of a pocket or something, or like a boot holster? These are people that you are singling out as not having been trained to do this, and you're adding like an extra layer of them possibly fumbling the gun.
Yeah, no one's gonna get between you and your right to shoot yourself in the face, just in,
maybe the crotch.
Yeah, hopefully no one is gonna get between you and your right to shoot your nuts off. You shoot your nuts off. Our forefathers, when they founded this nation, they were like, no Brit is gonna tax me for shooting my own nuts off. All right, that's what you think the Tea Party was about? Tea? No, it was about tea bags, and we know which kind, all right? The right to you know what? Can we just be recolonized by the UK? Can you please, if you're British,
they're better on the guns.
Come back, please come back. We're done. We've experimented. It's bad. All right.
Come
recolonize. At least just recolonize Florida. Take it away.
Yeah. Yeah. Add some higher standards of how many references to testicles can appear in a random news show. Add some civility.
You started it. You can't start it and not finish it, John.
I don't want to even touch that either. Okay, thank you. But anyway, yeah. No, we need reason when it comes to our gun laws. Like, Florida was already a place where lots of people were getting needlessly killed. It was just guns laying around, which makes obviously school shootings more likely. It makes suicides if somebody's experiencing some sort of crisis. It makes it that much more dangerous for them. As well as accidental shootings and guns being left around. And now you're gonna have that, but with less training. Of all of the states to require less preparation before doing a dangerous thing, it just does not seem like a good call to me. By the way, I wanna talk about one amendment to this before we move on. So this is Representative Anna Eskimani, a Democrat. So had an amendment that did not end up getting into it. It would have created an avenue for people to put themselves on a voluntary do not sell list, which they could remove themselves from later. She said it was designed to help protect people contemplating suicide. And in fact, during the debate, Representative Michelle Raynor Goolsbee told legislators that in 2021, she attempted suicide with a gun and later checked herself into a mental health facility. At the end of the day, I don't see the harm in this type of amendment if it can save someone's life like mine. It is an optional thing that you would have to do that you can then remove yourself from, but it is even just potentially seen as a symbolic win for reason, they cannot allow it. No training, no lists, no safety features on the guns, nothing to stop you from shooting your crotch off or, I don't know, accidentally shooting your girlfriend in the hallway in the middle of the night at your house because you heard a loud noise or something. More death, more destruction needlessly. Okay.
Freedom. That's freedom. What freedom is. Freedom to shoot and be shot like this. And honestly though, like it's funny because when you outline these sort of like piecemeal like amendments that could potentially save a person's life, like putting oneself onto this list voluntarily, which again, I think is a really tall feat. I also feel like, you know, we should be moving towards a place where you can put someone else on that list because they're running their mouths about like shooting other people and or maybe they're saying talking about hurting themselves. You know, this we should be able to do this. This is something. But anyway, shout out to Anna Eskimani who's fighting the good fight in Florida against so many awful Republicans, and she's so wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are some places where they have like red flag laws and stuff like that.
Right.
But the idea that like temporarily not being able to buy a new gun, if it's ever an emergency that you get a gun right now, that deserves to be talked about a little bit. You're gonna be okay. I don't know, do you have a pack of 50 wild feral hogs like bearing down on you? Anyway, with that said, we need to move to arguably even crazier news. There are some indications that Senator John Fetterman, after a period of time being hospitalized as treatment for chronic depression, might soon be getting out. Or will he? Somebody will be getting out, but will it be John Fetterman? Because according to what I'm reading online, it isn't him at all. I go to, for all of my news, I go to Cat Turd on Twitter, and Cat Turd posted, "It's a miracle. In only 3 weeks, John Fetterman got a total head replacement. Man, he has some good doctors." And I know that Cat Turd is a reputable source for this because the guy who owns the platform, the richest man in the world, constantly talks to him. Which makes it weird that that post, which clearly shows John Fetterman in two different photos, that were, by the way, not taken 3 weeks apart. Cat Turd is literally lying about when those photos were taken. One was taken last year, one was taken some time ago. It is an insane thing to simply state that this guy cannot possibly have survived his time in the hospital. He clearly was replaced or cloned, or they made a robot, a replicant. I don't know. Is he a droid? But anyway, that's what you're seeing. It's not just him, whoever Marshall Williams is posting. Again, a photo, it's the same guy. It's the same guy. Others are adding in, like Julia here, that you can tell it's not the actual John Fetterman because he's not touching his wife. And I love these sorts of conspiracy theories where they will go so into the conspiracy theory. Oh, I'm not talking about Julia, I'm talking about the people who clone John Fetterman, that they will replace a human being, but the line they draw is him touching Gisele Fetterman's back. Who thinks that's the line where they'd stop? She's posing with a person she knows isn't her husband, but that's where they draw the line. But this is what serious people who have real followings are saying on online, Francesca.
Capitalism's right there. Like corporate greed in your face every effing day, right? Like horrible bank withdrawal fees, you know, parking tickets, tow trucks. Like there's so many things to get mad at, you know? People can't make ends meet, which your boss is screwing you over extra shifts. Like your union's getting, but there's so many things, sea levels are rising. Pick one. The conspiracies are right there. Like, you know, you could, I don't know, like somehow, but they can't. They're like, no. I gotta get the conspiracy that nobody's got. And honestly, this is the world of misinformation that we live in, where it's like the person who says the most outlandish thing rises to the top and wins, just like a bubble of fart in a bathtub.
Yeah, and it would have been easy enough to do that before Elon Musk took over, but now there's just nothing. Like, why? Tell the craziest, most vicious lie. You will benefit every time. Never mind the fact that, as people point out, I'm gonna give credit to Bren Dan Flashes, and I just love the name there. Pointing out, I don't know, maybe everybody doesn't know this. When you use a different focal length lens, a person's face can look very, very different. When they say that like the camera adds 10 pounds, that is literally what they're talking about. Yes, it might be that two different cameras took photos of the same person, but that theory that we're talking about a tale of two lenses rather than a tale of two clones, I think is a little bit more reasonable. And I would like to once again offer, if you're a conservative, do you know that like you don't have to hang out with Cat Turd? You can come to us. We're the Dragon Squad, but we're also the Reality Squad. And you know what? Being in touch with reality is a great, great thing. I enjoy it every day. Anyway. With that said, everyone, that's all the time that we have to talk about guns being held without training and then eventually making their way into schools. And I'm gonna have to take a look at what that is. human clones and replicants and androids and cyborgs and all of that. As much fun as that is to talk about, that's all the time we have for the first hour of the show. Thank you, everyone, listening on the podcast, watching on the linear platforms. But if you're on our other platforms, we've got a lot more to talk about in the aftermath, including this really unfortunate news coming out about this up and coming big actor, Jonathan Majors. We're gonna be talking about that. Andrew Tate updates on his legal situation, as well as AI already starting to replace some jobs that you might not have seen coming. We have that and more for you after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.